another episode of Barroom Heroes. What's up, everybody? How are you doing? The very beginning of that song felt like the beginning of a newscast, like breaking news in the sports world. Let's go to Jim Phillips.
And then that horn section comes in, sets it off, dude.
You know it. Barroom Heroes, sports comedy podcast. Thanks for listening. Anybody that listened to last week or the previous episodes, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Let's start things off real quick by introducing ourselves. I am Kevin Elliott.
I'm Chris Santani.
And we have...
I am Joe Gangemi, the stat guy.
Stat guy Joe is in the building. Also, we got to shoot off the Bills, which we do at the very beginning.
Always.
Download the SeatGeek app on your phone. SeatGeek. SeatGeek. Go to sporting events, concerts, anything that sells tickets, pretty much, and type in the promo code PUNCHDRUNK. PUNCHDRUNK. And you'll get $20 off your first purchase, which is awesome. And if you're going with people, have everybody do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you're like, this is the way to cheat the system. If you're like, let me get tickets for everybody, I get $20 off, right? There's four of us. You could still pay for everybody. Just give them your card or something. Well, I don't know. Figure that out on your own. I'm not telling you how to do everything.
Right.
But if everybody opens their own account, right, and does it and puts in punch drunk, then you save $80. It's a pretty solid deal.
Real quick, just some of the upcoming events here in Arizona. 76ers at Suns for $7 through SeatGeek.
And you save $20.
They will hand you $13 on the way in the door. I cannot verify that for sure, but the way the deal seems to work, they would hand you $13.
Maple Leafs at Coyotes, $29.
Ooh. It'd be cool to see Austin Matthews come back and destroy the team that should have drafted him.
And Cactus Bowl for $11, Baylor versus Boise State.
I don't think that's a bad game.
Well, they can't bring the blue turf, so what are you going to do?
So SeatGeek, put that up on your app and on your phone and put in the code PUNCHDRUNK. And get your $20 off your first purchase. Also, go to punchdrunksports.com. Check out all the fun articles that are on there, all the podcasts on the network, and have a good time. Hopefully, we're not the only show that you listen to on there, so check everybody else out. Tom Segura's on there, Brody Stevens, with a lot of different podcasts, Brett Ernst. Everybody's got something going on there, so check those out. And soon, we're going to start having guests on the show. And those are a lot of guys that are going to be on there. So we're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be so sweet.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun talking sports with a lot of really funny comedians. We're going to have some professional athletes on here too. JJ Redick has agreed to come on the show. He's a friend of mine. JJ is doing this cool thing. He's doing 8 days of Christmas with JJ Redick. So what he's doing is every day you either like retweet one of his tweets. Follow him on Twitter is what you really should do, and then you'll see him all. It's at JJ Redick. Like tonight, if you go to the Clippers game, if you take a photo of yourself at the Clippers game with a sign, you get entered into this thing where he'll give you his signed jersey from tonight's game. And seriously? What are the odds of how many people are going to be at that Clippers game with a sign like saying anything? It doesn't even have to be, hey, JJ. It could be any sign at all.
Yeah.
Just send it to JJ. Like have him in the tweet when you post it. And then you're in this drawing that he'll do after the game and give you a signed jersey after the game.
That's like you're seriously going to have like a 1 in 10 chance. Yeah. Max. Yeah. I mean, that's so cool.
Yesterday, all you had to do was retweet his tweet, and it was a signed pair of shoes from him.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. And put you in the drawing, and he just randomly picks one. Yeah.
That's such a cool
JJ move. Rules. He's going to be on the show eventually once the season kind of calms down. So we're looking more... February All-Star break if he doesn't go on vacation with his family and if he doesn't make the All-Star team or three-point shootout, whatever, if he's not super busy, or probably after the season, which is a little longer than most people would like. But once the season starts, it's tough to get any of these guys because they're so enthralled with everything going on.
Yeah, for sure.
But if he can get time, he says he will do it. So we'll get him to call in and have a nice, fun conversation with him. I would love to talk about this Grayson Allen shit. Grayson Allen just tripping a dude on purpose for the third time.
Dude, I watched the video, and I was like, this is so embarrassing for you, dude. What are you doing?
He's a punk. And even the stuff he said afterwards, he's a punk. He's just a kid that has always had a privileged life.
Yeah.
And in all honesty, has been bigger than every other kid in his school because he's like a 6'4 guard.
Right.
Right. So he's fit and in shape and he stands 6'4. So anybody that would approach him to beat his ass couldn't, just from size differential.
Yeah, dude. But
he deserves. He needs to get his ass kicked.
I was just going to say, dude, he's a guy that would really benefit. And I know, like, I don't want him to get hurt. I don't want anything really bad to happen, but he needs his clock cleaned.
But here's the other thing,
too. For sure.
JJ talks to him a lot because Grayson's hated the same way JJ was when he was at Duke.
Okay.
And JJ talks to him and gives him all this advice. Like, don't do this. You're going to get this reaction. Right. This is why people don't like you. You're Duke. You're a white guy and you shoot threes.
It's yeah. It's in like the classic problem right. with Duke. Yeah.
Because JJ was hated more than anybody after Christian Laettner, obviously. It's the white guy at Duke
didn't
gets
hate
hated.
Christian Laettner. Dude, hating Laettner is like just that was like a rite of passage, dude.
If you're like the white guy at Duke, and now they've got a few of them that are good, but
I was going to say, Grayson Allen so you're just the guy at Duke.
Yeah.
Just saying. Dude, I watched the documentary, all right? I've seen both. I've seen the one about – I've seen them both like I'm some hick. But, no, I saw the one with the – I hate Christian Laettner. That was sweet. I did hate him. I didn't after watching that, though.
Yeah, because you understand it.
Yeah,
all
I was
that.
Like,
yeah,
this
you...
was really an important film. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know why this didn't get an Academy Award. But then I watched the Duke lacrosse one, which I don't really want to get into, but – it highlights the problems with why people don't like the Duke players.
Why people just don't like Duke.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It was
forget the players. It made so much sense for just Duke altogether.
It was actually cooler. To me, this sounds really horrible, and I'm not trying to minimize anything, but the whole scandal, I didn't care about that part of the documentary. I was really interested in the dynamic between Duke and the surrounding community.
Yep.
That was a super cool look at that. Well,
Duke is an interesting school because it's a private school, mm-hmm. which in college is a little weird. You hear about that growing up, you know, a private elementary school, private high school, and you understand the dynamics of it. You pay a lot of money for your kids to go there for a lot of different reasons. Maybe a better education, maybe to separate them from public school situations that may happen and people.
Right.
It's a bit of a segregation in public schools.
For sure.
Or private schools. But a private school college, it's not a very different dynamic. I think the dynamic's still the same, but there's so many universities.
Well, but the perception of it is so different. Everybody immediately thinks like yacht club, like you just don't have.
But it is there.
I know,
Duke
but I'm saying
is that way.
I understand, but what I'm saying is that even if you're not that kid. And you go to Duke, that's what everyone will assume about you, it seems.
If you don't go to Duke on a scholarship, you're paying a lot of money just to go to Duke. Also, one of the more interesting in all of college sports, if we look at it that way, and I think we should for this podcast, college sports, Duke is, 9 miles? It's a triangle, a 8 or 9 mile triangle between Duke, University of North Carolina, and North Carolina State. They are within this triangle of each other, which if you look at it, drive 9 miles. It takes you no time. And those are three major universities. Two public schools that are large in population and a private school that's better at basketball than those two schools. Yeah. And those two schools are basketball schools.
Right.
I don't care what you say about NC State. They're a basketball school. They won the championship with Valvano.
You have to be almost in that area. Yeah. I think about that. Like more than any history, any of that, you have to be. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be with those other two schools right by you, you have to be a basketball school. Yeah. You don't have a choice.
Just it's crazy the dynamic of them being so close. It's so fun. Oh, my God. To just go. You could decide, hey, want to go to an NC State game tonight? Yeah. You want to go check out North Carolina tomorrow night? Yeah. Let's go to Duke, which is a harder ticket to get because the stadium is so small. Also, they have no air conditioning.
But that's kind of – well, here's the thing. That's kind of cool, though. I still kind of like
really
that
cool.
vibe.
Like Butler. Butler plays where the movie Hoosiers was shot at.
Where they recorded onto film, the classic film.
But they still play there. So as a player, it would be so fun to just go there and kind of get that history of it. All right. I don't want to keep talking about this because I want to break into something very important to us in the show is we got to tell you again, coming up this Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, the 28th, Tempe, Arizona. If you're not in Arizona, come out to Arizona for this.
Buy a ticket on a plane. Fly out to Tempe. Well, Phoenix, Arizona. Catch a taxi to Tempe.
It's not an expensive taxi. Very close to the airport.
Extremely close. You could probably Uber it for cheaper, but
it's true.
Just saying, taxi's the general term.
Tempe, Arizona, Wednesday the 28th, 7:30 p.m. at the Yucca Tap Room, which is such a cool place. And we are the first comedy show that's going on there.
Yeah, dude, it's like the ultimate bar.
They have Tempe. Bands play. They've never had a comedy show. They're having one. We're putting it on. It's Stat Guy Joe, myself, Chris. So the barroom heroes are in the house. Then you've got Adriana Delgadillo.
Yo, Adrian.
And Jen Kober for $10, you guys. And all of the money goes to Chris's dog, Nova, and her cancer treatments and everything that kind of goes into that. I cannot stress enough. Tell everybody you know, man, because we're putting on a show. We're going to make you laugh. We're going to have a really good time. Honestly, on the show, and this sounds stupid, you're going to get whatever you're looking for in comedy because we're all so different from each other, and that's what I'm excited about comedically for the show.
Yeah.
But this is just very important as far as raising money, and to see this show for $10 at this place that's never had a comedy show before is be one of the first people, man.
Yeah, dude,
come in there and be one of the first people.
Be ground floor.
Yeah.
Because you never know. This could keep going.
Dude, if we do this and it does sell really well, guys, we have... What are you laughing at?
We could save all the dogs.
That's not what I was going to say,
every
asshole.
Dog in the world, we will save it.
You know what, Joe? No. I think it was about to be bigger than just one species, so thanks for really limiting us.
There's an alligator problem population.
Go on. I think the dogs problem. Is a real good place.
We're all
to start.
In on dogs.
Yeah. All right, Sarah McLachlan.
Oh, wait, real quick. Real quick, though. I get to reveal this. There's a rumor going around that I started... that Nova is actually probably going to be at the show for a little while.
Shut the fuck up.
We think she's going to be helping take money and tickets and stuff to get in. So
love it.
That's what I'm saying. So if you want to come out and see the dog physically that you're helping.
She's an American Bulldog. She's so sweet, man.
The best dog.
I have like a special 3 to 5 minutes just for her. It's all about the character Nova from the Marvel comics. But I think she's really
going to dig
it.
That anybody understands.
No, she'll dig it.
Also,
she's a very open-minded bulldog.
With Jen Kober headlining at $10, it's a very hot ticket. But just to reiterate from earlier, SeatGeek can help you out with hot tickets. You were talking about how hard it would be to get a Duke game. Well, you can see Duke at North Carolina for $450.
At Carolina.
Super hot ticket.
What's the price at Cameron Indoor?
What did you say?
At Duke. Jesus.
Joe. I was actually going to say, what's the price after SeatGeek is applied? Because I didn't feel like doing the $20 subtraction.
That is the SeatGeek. Also, you could see Duke versus the Virginia Tech Hokies for $58.
That's their next game.
So a more reasonable...
But you won't see Grayson Allen there. He got suspended.
But still.
Tripping.
Yeah, no matter what.
Hot tickets.
The guy throwing his feet out there for kicks, that guy's done.
To finish up the show, to see Jen Kober for $10 is pretty amazing. Because
unheard
she
of.
Does theaters now. And she sells them out all over the country. She's one of the funniest people I know. But if the back burner of this whole thing, and I don't even want to say it, but if the show does really well... and they have us back. It's one of those things where we can have really amazing headliners come in for a one-nighter to do these shows for a very inexpensive cost.
And for charities.
And yeah, exactly. I've talked to so many amazing comedians that you'd be like, there's no way they do it for free, and they will 100% do it for free for a charity. So if this show does really well, it parlays into more shows like it that we can do to raise money. But... I don't care about any of that. I only care about this show Wednesday, right. the 28th. It's this Wednesday. Step up. Let's make some money happen for... did you just draw a thumb, Joe? A hand with a thumb? Was that... Okay, you could have just done the thumbs up.
You know, long story
but
short.
Your drawing sucked. So.
Long story short. This coming Wednesday, December 28th, 7:30 p.m. at the Yucca Tap Room in Tempe. We want to see you there. We want to have a... It's the charity is great, but it's going to be like a... one of the best comedy shows you'll see because Jen Kober is that funny.
She's amazing.
I promise you this will be the thing you get to brag about to all of your friends. Like, I saw her for $10.
Guys, if you don't believe us, go on YouTube, type in Jen Kober, watch her stand-up, and I'll tell you to watch them all because she's bringing new material, stuff you haven't heard that's not on there. She's bringing new stories, new material. So check her out and watch it. I guarantee you, you laugh. She's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So go to that. On another note, Todd Gurley sucks. And I've said that on the show before.
Absolutely. We said that very extensively last week.
I say it a lot.
Oh, yeah. You were doing that Twitter thing.
Yeah.
You were going at him. I forgot about that. That was great.
So I tweet him every week, usually after games. And this week was exactly the same. Actually, I can't say it was exactly the same because it wasn't. Todd Gurley had an 11-yard run, so I tweeted him mid-game.
Hell yeah, dude, 11 yards.
Yeah, and I said, see, this is what happens when you push for the extra yard.
That's a
good job, hashtag go Rams.
That's an extremely reasonable tweet.
For because the season you've
been,
he's had.
But what I'm saying is you've been openly criticizing him, but you decided to take the high road and say, I see you working. I appreciate you taking my notes. Way to work.
Thank you. He then went to finish the game being horrible. He had like 14 carries for 38 yards. Dog shit, and we lost.
Right.
So I tweeted him after the game, and I couldn't take it. I was so mad, and I just tweeted him, you're pathetic. You're honestly probably the worst player in the NFL. You're a pretty boy. Like, I'll whatever.
So then, you lost it.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
That's which hey... Twitter bullying or social media, I'm sorry. I did it. I don't mean to. My apologies.
No, you were just a heated fan.
Very heated.
Fans
but,
get heated.
But also, I shouldn't have done it, but I did.
I'm just saying, people make mistakes. I appreciate you apologizing, though.
So, I go to bed. Wake up in the morning. I check my sports app, and it's got trending headlines, whatever. So, I look at it, and one of the headlines was Todd Gurley reacts to Twitter fan, to upset Twitter fan. And I said, holy shit, he finally responded. I read through the article. It wasn't me. It was somebody else
Damn.
Who said, you suck. I'm going to fight you if I see you. And Todd Gurley responded by saying, pull up then. Like he's going to really fight him. What a douche. Either way, I go check Todd Gurley's account to see it. Todd Gurley blocked me on Twitter. So he read my tweets.
Hold up. An NFL player... could not handle the very mild heat that you were bringing on him.
Right.
He blocked you.
He blocked me.
Official. Like
yeah.
You
oh,
can't
yeah.
send him anything.
I can send. I can't read anything on his stuff. I can send him stuff and he can read it, but I won't ever know. Like, you know. So I tweeted back at him. And it said, you know, at TG3, his Twitter handle. And I said, blocked me on Twitter, making me the first person he successfully blocked all season long.
Hold up. Hold up. I'm going to tweet him that. I'm going to say, I see you blocked KE Comedy. That's the first guy you blocked all year. And see if I can get blocked from his account.
You may, dude. He's taking it real serious now.
Well, if he took the game a little more serious, you know, maybe as serious as he's taking his Twitter mentions.
Maybe that's the next tweet I do.
I'm just
telling
you.
If you would take football as serious as Twitter, maybe you'd be doing a little better, man.
Yeah. If you took the offensive package as seriously as you take your Twitter mentions, you'd be in the contention for MVP.
Dude. Jared Goff appreciates my tweet. Block for him.
For real.
All right, I had to get that off my chest.
No, that's so great. I'm so pumped.
Yeah.
Todd Gurley just decided that he couldn't hack it anymore. How's he expect to ever, whatever. Shout out to Todd Gurley.
I mean, if he's getting offended if he's getting offended by tweets from guys that can't run a 40, forget your time of the 40. I can't run a 40.
What's your time on the 40? Like 5-6 minutes.
It's about 30 yards.
And that's if I, you know, that's if I drink it quickly. Todd Gurley, come on, man.
But if he's getting offended by that and he starts blocking, I mean, come on, man. The NFL players have to say worse things than I do, and if they don't, maybe we should start writing for NFL players.
Is that a gig? Hey, let me punch up your insults, bro.
It would be the best.
Saying a lot of really weak stuff.
Yeah.
I would assume someone that grew up with the last name of Gurley that then got into the NFL would be a little more thick-skinned.
And I told him I want to call him Todd Manley, but he just hasn't proven it.
I guess what I'm saying is that oh boy. What a
I'm starting
weirdo.
To see why he blocked me.
I'm not. Here's the deal, dude.
As a fan. I'm a fan of the Rams.
That's why he should not block you. He should understand that it comes from a place of love.
It does.
You're challenging
him. I'm harder on Todd Gurley than I am my son for discipline.
That's what I'm saying, dude. You're challenging him to be better because you believe in him. You know, that's why I stopped tweeting about Jay Cutler. I don't believe in him anymore.
He just ain't cutting it. Now, that's the type of trash talk that probably goes on in the field. We need better than that. Let us write for you. NFL players, write into the show. If you want us to write some lines for you, we will give you some things for the other team.
I'm 100% serious. I'll write whatever you want.
Yeah.
I'll research people's lives and insult their lives. Dude, I don't care.
I honestly think we're onto a business plan right here. So, I am.
So, everyone remember this intellectual copyright. You try to take it. Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm suing you.
We are time and dating this episode for this business idea we just had.
Halftime Roast is now copyrighted by Barroom Heroes. So,
ooh, Halftime Roast.
Don't even worry about that.
I like that.
Halftime Roast.
Yeah. We should maybe add a segment to the show of that. Halfway through, maybe?
Well, what I'm thinking is...
roast some players or whatever? I like that a lot.
I'm just throwing a lot of ideas out here. Like, maybe we just roast the halftime show at every Super Bowl.
We'll do that Super Bowl, like the show after the Super Bowl. Oh, by the way, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah. This is that episode.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I forgot.
By the way, halftime Super Bowl roast is now trademarked by Barroom Heroes. So don't worry about that.
I like halftime roast halfway through the show.
Dude, halftime roast is so tight.
Yeah. All right, maybe we'll do that. Coming up.
Oh, no.
We'll do that from now on. Segment.
Dude, I'm real pumped. But anyway, Bella, back to what you said, because I don't want to gloss over it like that. You know, happy holidays, whatever you celebrate. I hope it's the best one. I don't care what you celebrate. I hope it's the best one. You know? You feel me?
I do.
It's about as sentimental as I think I can muster right now.
True. Okay. Moving along. I want to get into this topic because...
Hold on. I have to clarify just so the audience knows. When you say happy holidays, whatever one, best one, are you wishing them the best of whatever holiday they're choosing? Or that you're hoping that they're choosing the best one?
Well, I'm just glad that you kept up your reign of trying to make us look bad on the mic.
I'm just saying.
Whatever it is you choose to celebrate, whatever it is, it's not a problem. If you say, I want to celebrate Hanukkah, I hope it's the very best Hanukkah you've ever had.
That's what I thought you
were saying. If you want to celebrate Christmas,
I think that's what everyone
thought you meant. Very best Christmas you've ever had. I have to... What I'm saying is, Joe is making this more difficult than it needs to be.
That's what I
happy
thought you were saying.
Happy holidays. No matter what holiday it is, even if you're just celebrating a day off work because you're a rabid atheist, I hope it's the best day off you've ever had. Whatever you're celebrating, I hope it's the best version of that.
I know you. So I know your intentions, and that's what I thought you meant. I just wanted everyone else out there to know what I know and not think that you were hoping that they had the best one of the holidays they could have. So, happy everything from Barroom Heroes.
Yes. Okay.
Dude, happy everything.
Happy everything.
That's the ultimate. That's trademarked by the Barroom Heroes. Happy everything.
Yes. Now we don't have to say it again for Valentine's Day, for Flag Day, anything. We're good. All right. Moving along on topics. This one irked me, so I don't know if it irked me, but it's interesting to talk about. Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette are opting out of playing in their bowl games because they've entered the draft and they don't want to get hurt. They want to be able to perform on pro days and the combine.
Yeah.
So they don't want to play in this game, and I'm torn. Because this is part of their college career. Be a teammate, play with the team. Also, this is football. You're about to make millions of dollars by being a number one round draft pick. Don't get hurt. You're not right now. Don't. Don't play in this game that means nothing. Because they're not playing in the playoff. They're not in the championship. If they were one of those teams, I'd say you better play. You're playing for a national championship. When you were in high school, that's why you went to college. And you picked these colleges to try and win a national championship. All right. Maybe Christian McCaffrey did because Stanford's a good school.
Yeah.
But Leonard Fournette went to LSU knowing full well, I'm going to the NFL. I'm going to do whatever it takes to go to the NFL. So this whatever bowl game they made, I'm cool with him not playing in it. They didn't make the national championship or the playoff. So, all right, don't get hurt. Go take those millions of dollars. Christian McCaffrey already has millions of dollars. His dad played in the NFL for a long time.
Right.
Made a lot of money.
I don't know, man.
But what's your stance on it? Without me saying anything and giving my opinion, what was your stance on it?
No, my opinion is totally different. My opinion is you play. You're on that team. That's your team. You're going to a bowl game. You play.
So if you were an offensive lineman on LSU and all of a sudden you hear Fournette bails, you're like, well, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
I blocked for him all year to make him who he was.
A good portion of his numbers are due to me stepping up. And that's not an arrogancy thing because it's a whole line, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't understand this concept of I'm going to just hang back and train for the NFL combine. Actually, maybe I'm a dinosaur in this way, but if I'm an NFL team, that's a big negative in my column because it shows he's looking out for only himself and not his team.
For sure, one way to look at it.
And I understand why you would do it. I understand the concepts behind saying I'm going to bow out. I got a chance to make millions of dollars, this and this and this. But to me, it's more important that I show the NFL I'm with my team. This is my team. I'm going to win this bowl game.
Okay.
We're going to finish strong.
Another thing to be devil's advocate and kind of lay everything on the table, Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey are the two players that have done this. And it's really the first time I've ever heard of it.
Yeah, I'd never heard of it until you texted me actually saying, like, did you see this? I was like, you got to be joking. I was
right.
Pissed for like a day and a half.
But they're both running backs.
Okay.
And they both take up a huge percentage of the offensive touches.
Right.
If you're a receiver, that's just crushing it.
Mm-hmm.
You maybe get the ball 8 times in a big game.
Yeah.
He has 8 catches for 150 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Right.
It's a great game
for
a receiver.
That's a big deal, yeah.
Running back, he has 22 carries for 208 yards and 5 catches for 57 yards, whatever. And it's 27 times you're getting the ball and you've only scored twice. Let's say you go out of bounds a few times. You're getting tackled in the teens, if not the 20s. So I think I understand the running back perspective where there's a bigger chance of me getting hurt than a running back, a quarterback in that situation.
Okay.
And a running back's shelf life isn't as long.
But you can still play the game, and you can do the Todd Gurley and not fight for extra yards and just go out of bounds.
Or Todd Gurley is a great example because Todd Gurley got hurt his senior year,
right,
and missed most of the season,
right.
Didn't do the combine, didn't do anything because he had torn his knee,
right.
Still got drafted in the top 10 or whatever it was.
Yep.
Right? He still made his money based on what he did in college, which these guys probably would at this point. They've proven what they can do.
Yeah.
Leonard Fournette maybe needs to prove himself a little bit more because in big games he doesn't show up and he gets shut down.
Right.
And in the NFL, they're saying, well, a lot of guys get drafted from Alabama, and you were horrible against Alabama.
Right.
I think he may have a little bit more to prove. Christian McCaffrey has the genes of the family. Stanford tore it up. He showed what he can do on the field. I get it. I think I play both sides because I'd like them to play out their career. You're kind of letting your team right. down and your teammates that's that have my, worked hard for you.
It's just real hard for me to stomach.
Same and token.
I'll take that heat. If any listeners want to give me some heat about it on Twitter or whatever, they can. I don't buy it. I think you need to play, and you need to play hard. Don't be stupid because you do have millions on the line, but you need to play hard. You need to show up.
Same token.
Okay.
Cardale Jones, Ohio State, ended up playing the last four games of the season.
Okay, right.
Because of an injury.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's okay. right.
Because okay. of an injury. Not because somebody opted out of playing, but because of an injury.
Right.
Leonard Fournette bows out of this game. Christian okay. McCaffrey bows out of his last game, right? Now their backup, who's been sitting behind these guys for a year, 2 years, whatever, waiting in the wing, now has one game to go out and say, the way you played for this guy, play for me, and I'm going to show up and show out. And he finally has this opportunity, which he's been waiting for, to have a breakout game and put his name on there. So there's one guy that's like, finally, I now have my opportunity in a game that people are going to watch, which I don't really watch a lot of bowl games.
Right.
But at least he's got that opportunity then to show up and put his name out there. Maybe he goes to the NFL after next season. You know what I mean?
That'd be great. That guy I'm pulling for.
Selflessly. What if those two teams, I don't know who their backups are.
Right.
But what if they say, I'm bowing out. All right, I'm going to make it in the NFL. And I don't want to get hurt because of my draft position. I want to show what I can do in the combine and participate. I believe in this backup, and I think that he should be the guy who's focused on in this game. I don't know if they said that or not. But
if I will accept that statement only on the condition that you still dress, you still show up, and you're still ready to play.
Okay.
Because to me, if you're not there or if you're not in uniform, you've bailed. But if you say, you know what, this is his time to shine, I know I'm probably going to make it in the NFL. And you show up dressed, ready to play, and maybe take a couple touches, maybe throw a block for the other guy or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Show you want to be part of the team. It can be a fairly empty gesture, but show me that you'll at least do it.
What if he's part of the team in the sense of a coach, right?
Okay.
If he's not dressed to play, but he's obviously there, and I'm sure they'll both be there for the game.
I want him dressed.
You want him dressed, ready to play, and I want him actually dressed. Playing?
I would like to see him take a couple snaps. If they're insistent on not playing because they're worried about injury, then I want to see them in uniform constantly in the ear, not in a negative way, but constantly working with the dude that's the backup saying, like, yes. see this, because it right. still shows me a teammate. If he's just there chilling, having a good time, and I'm an NFL scout or an owner – that's a real turnoff to mm-hmm. me because he's making it all about him and not about his team.
Which leads me into this. Do professional sports teams owe any of their players anything? Meaning, and this is why this kind of topic brought up into my head, was Larry Fitzgerald has been recently talking about next season. And if he should go to another team to try and win a Super Bowl. And a lot of Cardinals fans out here say, we owe it to him. He's given his everything to this franchise and this team. We can't get him to the Super Bowl to win it. Let's put him in an organization for one chance to do it before he retires.
Right.
So does a professional sports team owe anything to their players other than the contract that they signed them to?
I think it's hard to make a broad stroke on this, but I think yes, in terms of somebody like a Larry Fitzgerald.
And that's what I'm talking about. So if it's anybody that's like, he's played here for like 5 seasons, we're nowhere close.
Right.
Let's get rid of him to get prospects. No. You're getting nothing in return.
Right.
You're saying we'll just give you to another team for very little.
I think, You know, I honestly think there is a there's an obligation to at least offer it. If the player,
key word right there is obligation.
I think so. I think you have to say, we're not going to win. You have to go to the guy and say, if you want a shot at winning somewhere else, we'll trade you. If you're not going anywhere and the dude's put in 10, 11, 12 seasons of service with you, you got to at least give him a shot. If he's retiring, you know, if you think he's going to be out. But if he says, no, I don't care, then fine. You got no obligation other than that. But I think you have to at least – this is just me personally. I think if I had a guy on my team for 10 years and he's like, well, I think I'm going to hang up the cleats or whatever and be done with it, I would say, okay, well, do you want to – you have to say, do you want a shot at a title? Because I'll deal you to somebody for a couple of picks or something. You know, I think that's something you – especially if they're as big, I know you brought up Larry Fitzgerald. If they're as big to your franchise as Larry Fitzgerald was, it's kind of like reciprocating how much he gave you. It's giving him a chance at that number one spot.
I understand that side of it. And maybe that happened in Detroit when Calvin Johnson retired. Maybe he said, we're not close to winning. I'm going to retire unless you get me to a team that's going to win. And now they may make the playoffs. And get their chance now that he's not on the team. Yeah. But Larry obviously got close. They made it to the Super Bowl. They almost won it, and they lost. And Larry's such a big figure in Arizona that's easy for us to say because we live out here. He's a polarizing figure. Everybody loves him. League-wide, everybody loves him.
Yeah, it seems like it, yeah.
So, and he's only 33, which in regular age is young. In NFL age, he's played, what, 11, 12 seasons?
I was going to say, I think 12 is what I looked up. But.
So do the Cardinals owe it to him and have an obligation to get him to a winner after this season? When this was one where, at least out here in Phoenix, everyone was saying, this is our year on paper. We have everybody back. We're a great team, and they blew it. All right, they lost a bunch of games. They're not going to make the playoffs. They blew it. And then Larry came back recently and said, I want to end my career in Arizona. I don't want to go anywhere else. So even with that said, do the Cardinals approach him and say, look, we're going to have to rebuild. We have a lot of guys up for free agency that we can't afford anymore, so we've got to let some go. We've got to bring in young guys. It's a bit of a rebuilding process. So do they trade him? But in the NFL, there's no guarantees. Unless you're sending him to New England, you don't know if that team is going to be great next season.
Right.
So you could trade him to Oakland. That's like 11-3.
Yeah.
And they could still be – they could be horrible next year.
Right. It could be just a fluke year they're having.
You could send him to Dallas, which has lost, what, 2 games, and they could be terrible next season. New England's kind of been the consistency because of the guys they have and Tom Brady. Michael Floyd is there. I know Larry was pretty pissed about Michael Floyd getting waived from the team. They're good friends. Not saying he would go there, but whatever.
Right.
I don't know if a team has an obligation to do so, in my opinion, because contractually they've signed them to these contracts. They've paid them so much money and set their family up in life for a couple generations. Especially one that's been there that long, right? Yeah. So you know how much money they've made. If there's a guy that's been for 2 years and he's blown all his money, it's like, well, you're just an idiot, you know?
Yeah.
Larry's been in the league long enough. He's made really so much money that his family's been paid well for a couple generations.
Right.
So do you owe it to him to win a championship? Maybe.
I think you owe it to him to offer. You talk to him about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's where I'm at. Other than that, no. Because if he says, yeah, I want to go to another team, then you try. If you can't make a deal, you can't make a deal. That's just how it works.
But you'll be able to make that deal.
I know, but
if the Cardinals called up the Patriots, who they made a deal with last offseason to get Chandler Jones, and said, hey, Larry wants to try and win a championship.
Right.
Give us a pick in the draft. You get Larry Fitzgerald giving his all for one season. By the way, Julian Edelman has to change his jersey number from 11 to something else because Larry ain't playing under another jersey number.
Fair enough.
And he'll make that happen.
Right.
Edelman's not going
to. If Edelman doesn't want to, Belichick will send him to the Browns. Yeah, like he did with that then. Linebacker.
Yeah. I think it's a pretty easy trade to make. Yeah, he would fit in that offense. But either way, it doesn't matter if he goes to them, he goes to Denver, whatever. I don't know. I don't know where I sit on this one, mainly because this is their job. People that work at a job for the life expectancy of that job, right? So the NFL expectancy is short, but Larry's played for a certain amount of time, much longer than the life expectancy of an NFL player. What does that company owe that regular employee? Joe, what players – I know Reggie Miller played in Indiana for his entire career. He made it to the finals once. He didn't get traded anywhere. But what players have been with one team for their entire career and, like, didn't win a championship, but didn't go anywhere, maybe could have – it's just kind of that same Larry Fitzgerald situation.
What, with, like, all of the sports?
Yeah.
With all,
I mean, whatever you can pull up, it, you know,
like all of the sports.
Okay, like I know John Stockton and Karl Malone,
right?
Played for Utah forever. Now John Stockton retired at Jazz. He didn't go anywhere else. He just retired. But Karl Malone ended up going to the Lakers,
right?
Ring chasing, didn't win it.
No,
when him and Gary Payton, who played with the Sonics for so long, they both went to the Lakers to try and win it, and they didn't with Shaq and Kobe,
right?
Well, you guys are talking NFL. So NFL, I mean, there's obviously guys like Tom Brady.
Yeah, but he's won Super Bowls.
Right, obviously. But what about Daryl Green.
With Washington Redskins. That's actually a good one because Daryl Green was great. Uh-huh. He played for like 20 seasons. One of the best defensive backs of all time.
Best stat guy alive, Daryl Green.
Actually, Daryl Green would always participate. Remember those Pro Bowl things we talk about when they do like the fastest player? He would win a lot of those. Him and Willie Gault from the Raiders.
Derek Brooks.
The linebacker. Yeah, linebacker Tampa Bay. He went to a Super Bowl, did win it. Didn't win it. They beat the Raiders.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
I'll have to back it up a page.
Either way, that's fine.
Victorious. Yes.
Okay.
Next up in is a Citibank ad. And then next up is from the Green Bay Packers, Ray Nitschke.
For sure.
Yeah, definitely. Sure. I have no idea who this. Actually, I think Daryl Green did win.
I think he was the guy I was thinking of. I'm pretty sure.
Marino won some rings.
There you go. No, Marino didn't win rings. That's a great one. Oh. Marino didn't win any championships. He's like that Barkley complex, right? Where you play your whole career, don't win a championship, but do you count as one of the best ever because you didn't win a championship? Marino is with the Dolphins. Did they owe or obligate to trade him to somewhere else to get him to win a championship? Because they never gave him anything.
Yeah.
He had Mark Duper and Mark Clayton as receivers, which were good receivers, but the rest of the team sucked.
He also had Ace Ventura.
He had a big, big play with Ace Ventura.
Best stat guy alive.
Okay, so, Chris, your stance is they do have an obligation.
I think you have to at least offer it and try to do something for him.
I think depending on the guy, if he's a good guy, and he want, and you're right, have that conversation with him.
I think you have to.
And go for it. All right. Cool. Let's get out of here.
All right.
Guys, thank you for listening. A lot of fun. Hope you have fun on this episode. I know we did. Everybody, Wednesday, sure. This coming Wednesday, please go.
Dude, just come out. Okay. December 28th, 7:30 p.m., Yucca Tap Room. It's $10 at the door. It's all going to a great cause to help the dog get some treatments. It's going to be a blast. I cannot possibly tell you enough how fun it's going to be. So please come out.
That's the truth. Like, it's cool. Obviously, you want to give to a charity, right?
Yeah.
And it's one thing to be like, let's give $10 to this charity and never get anything kind of back. Just feel good about it.
Right.
Give $10 to this, and the show is going to be so fun.
Oh, it's going to be so good. I'm just telling.
Even if we suck, Jen and Adriana won't. It's going to be so fun.
It's
going
to be so good.
Like Don Hutson from the Green Bay Packers, I will be there. I'm going to start there. I'm going to retire there.
Amen, dude.
Much like I will with Barroom Heroes. Let's go. Franchise player. Thank you.
Guys, thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it. Tell all your friends. The more we can get this show listened to, the better. We'll be doing bigger and better things. But we got bigger and better things coming up for you anyway.
For
so
sure.
You've been here at Ground Zero, and we appreciate y'all. So until next week, have a good holiday, whether it's Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, whatever, and enjoy all the sports this week.
Bye.